Amen. This morning, we're going to have you turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In your memory, it was on, it went orange. Now it's on. I think I must have hit the button when it was in my pocket. Your memory verse is Luke 10:27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And then the lesson through there, the following verses we'll look at, is about the story of the Good Samaritan. I find it interesting. Do you notice how many times you can drive through a major city and they have the Good Samaritan Hospital? You go down south, there's Good Samaritan Baptist in Florida. There's Good Samaritan in Texas. There's Good Samaritan, I think there's a Good Samaritan in New York, named for the hospital. And it's because of that willingness to have compassion and care. You know, and the verse is written to show us that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and that we're supposed to love him, and that we're supposed to love our neighbor. Got a question for you. Who is your neighbor?
Anyone in your circle of influence.
It could be your neighbor next door. It could be the person you work with. It could be your spouse. That's the closest neighbor. Because it says, husbands love your wives, as Christ so loved the church. The wives are supposed to love their husband. I had a woman say, you don't know what he's done, I can't. Well, I said, then it's supposed to, he's your closest neighbor, love your neighbor. And she goes, I don't want him my neighbor for long. And then I says, well, it says love your enemies. And she goes, I can do that. Well, that couple is from another church. I want you to know, when working through the thing, she got to the place where she could eventually love him as her neighbor, then love him as her husband, and they're still together. Because love is always a choice. The heart will follow the choice. If your heart isn't in love towards somebody, make the choice to do it God's way. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. The lawyer knew the verse, didn't he? If we remember the story, knows the verse, but you know what he did? He failed to... Judy loves to remind me that I am supposed to be an illustration to you. And sometimes she'll look at me and she'll go, do you want Emmanuel to do it the way you just did it? And I'm going, oh. Okay. But faithful are the wounds of a friend because she loves me. All right? So you have that. I want you to understand. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're going to read it, and then we'll go into our lesson. Okay? So verse 27, let's jump up to the verse 25, gives you the background. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? He was a lawyer. He was an expert of the law. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. You know what the world says? You can't love anybody else until you love yourself first. Well, you can't really learn to love yourself until you put others first. And God has to be first in that. And he said unto him, this is Jesus, thou hast answered right. Look at that next phrase. That's the hardest one in this passage. You know what it is? This do. This do. And thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him. So the priest stayed on the other side of the road, right? The Levite came right over and looked down on him. Yep, he's a mess. Saw him, all right, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now what's a Samaritan? He's a half-breed, okay? He was half Jewish, half Gentile. He had a mixed marriage. They were rejected by the Jews. Jesus is using someone that the Jewish, especially the priest and Levite, would look down upon more than any other common Jew. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what's that big word in that next phrase? Compassion. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. He gave up 2 days' wages, because that's what a pence was at those days. That's 2 days' wages. And gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Do you notice the Samaritan had such a reputation when he said, I will repay thee? It wasn't questioned by the innkeeper. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You notice in this passage, Jesus didn't say, hear the parable. He didn't say this was a parable. This might have been a true story. Do I know? No. I know he spoke of them in a direct way. He didn't say, listen to the parable. Okay, so what you had is a certain lawyer stood up to challenge Jesus. Lawyers are a group of people who are trained to study, teach, and debate. And back here, they were to debate the law of Moses. My daughter-in-law, Sheila, is a very good lawyer. And there's times when we have a discussion about something and she will just take the contrary side just to tweak her father-in-law. And when we'll discuss it, and she's used to using words. And by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be what? Condemned. And she'll just tease me. And all of a sudden I'll start to, and she goes, Dad, I wasn't serious with you. Okay? You ever find sometimes if you're not quick with words, you ever feel like you get frustrated with someone else who is? Yeah. Okay? My wife and I, Judy and I, we pick on each other horribly. Okay? This morning we both picked on each other. We kissed, but we picked on each other. All right, and so that's okay, you know, and so if we're used to that, we tease each other, and all sides that, we're at an age, so if we even have an argument, 5 minutes into it, we forget what it's about, and we start laughing, so it doesn't make any difference anyways, okay? But her sister, Luann, now Luann's an intelligent woman. She is just not quick on the trigger. And you can pick on Luann, and she just walks away and comes back the next day with a quip or a retort to the thing you said, but it's a day late because it just wasn't there when she was saying it, okay? The lawyer was very confident in what he was trying to do. He thought he was going to ask questions and twist the person because he didn't know who Jesus was. Did he see him as Lord? No. He was trying to justify himself out of the law. You know what people want to do all the time? Justify. We want to justify. Lawyers love to debate the fine points. He wanted to put Jesus to a test and see how well he knew the law. Isn't that kind of interesting? He's going to question the one who gave the law, not knowing that. He's going to question. When you have people who are questioning, you know what they need? They need the words of Jesus. Plain and simple. I have a nephew who has an IQ over 160. Okay. I thought I was doing good. Mine's around 140. His is over 160. And he loved to debate people. And he wasn't saved yet. Now he leads the music in a Baptist church the other side of Syracuse, a little small Baptist church. He and his wife, I'm talking about Corey and Vale. And he would love to debate. He would debate things, you know, and he had very confident in his knowledge. And I turn around and I couldn't deal with his logic stream. So you know what I give him? Scripture. You know what caused him to get saved? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the... We don't ever have to feel like we don't have an answer for those who assume that they know more. They may know more than me, but they don't know more than God. So you take them and let them... He'd go, Uncle Bryant, I'd say this and you wouldn't have an answer. And then you'd quote a scripture verse to me and I didn't know what to do with it. And then that verse would eat at me. It would eat at me. One of the happiest times I've ever seen is the first time we had Tony Saxton here. He preached on a Sunday morning and Corey and Vale visited this church. And when the invitation came, they ran to the altar. My nephew and his wife both got saved the same morning. Because the world does not have an answer for the author. You still with me? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I'm not saying beat somebody over the head with a scripture verse. I'm saying, you know, it says, the Proverbs tells you, don't contend with a fool because they'll bring you down. And then it tells you, tell him so he doesn't get too full of himself. Okay? The whole passage, the whole story of the Good Samaritan is about compassion in seeing others. And Jesus is trying to teach him that. Okay, our opening verse, he says, and a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's trying to say, you know, basically the lawyer's saying, I'm good enough. What should I do? First question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? If you have unsaved loved ones, you need to bring them to that place. You ever notice they'll want to talk about certain situations that are not personal? They take it to other things. They want to make it not personal. To lead people to the Lord, you know what you have to do? Make it personal. Always has to become personal. So they can see themselves in light of what God says. Jesus knew he wasn't seeking after the truth, and he pointed him to the law. Okay, look at, we're coming back to keep your hand in Luke 10, but go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our what? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the... For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? You see it? When you get to that, Romans or Galatians 3, 23 through that, is a good way to plow someone's self-righteous heart. Bible says if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of what? All the law. So that means the liar is the same as the thief, the same as the adulterer, the same as the murderer. Now, you won't like to hear this because murderers don't like to hear this, same as the pedophile. Because sin is sin. And what you've done with Jesus is the only thing that changes that. No one can live up to the law perfectly, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at James chapter 2. James 2. I've already quoted it to you in a manner. Look at verse 10. For whosoever shall keep what? And yet offend in? He's guilty of all. That's why when you go to the end of the book of Revelation, you find whoremongers and murderers, the effeminate, this whole list of people, and it says, and all liars shall find their what? Part in the lake of fire. How many of you, raise your hand if you've never, ever told a lie. Raise your hand. Being honest at this point, right? Everyone at some point. Now, according to the law, back in Luke 10, you know the lawyer gave the right answer? He gave the right answer. You know, sometimes people will give the right answer. They'll turn around, you say something to them, and they'll say, judge not, lest ye be judged. Is that a truth in the scripture? Yes. Jesus says, I don't judge you, but there's one that judges you. The Word judges you. So they'll throw something at you to try to keep you from looking at what the author says. You know what Jesus did? He took it from an impersonal conversation, a debate about, oh, what is needed for eternal life. Because if you get with a group of religious people, one denomination says this, another denomination says this, another religion says this. How do you know what the truth is? It becomes truth when it becomes real to you. And then the lies fall away. That's the thing that's different about the Bible. He gave the right answer. It's quoted twice in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are commandments that God gave through Moses, and he says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and at thy gates. You know what trying to do? They're trying to say you always got to keep the law before you. Right? Keep the law before you. You know what's different for the believer? He has the author of the law within him. I shall be with you and shall be in you. There's the difference. It's not an outward keeping of a set of rules. It's an inward relationship where you can hear the voice of the one who loved you so much he gave himself for you. It's said in another way, we won't forsake a time, we won't turn there, but in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Because you know what happened? The lawyer's words were perfect, but his actions were wrong. My mother used to say to me, "Honey child, what you're doing is speaking louder than what you're saying. Actions speak louder than..." You want someone to hear your words, you got to live it for them. Still say the words, because if you're witnessing a lot, you know what it'll do? It'll cause you to try to be better, to do better. You'll stop witnessing because you don't want people looking at you. The lawyer knew the words, but wasn't living the life. He wasn't practicing what he preached. And what did he do? He was being told he couldn't keep the law perfectly, so he couldn't have eternal life through that. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength." And then, "Thou shalt love thy..." And he knew it, and he says, "Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor?" You know what Jesus is doing? He's making it applicable to the individual. Who is my neighbor? He was trying to justify because he really didn't love like he should. 1 John chapter 4. We're coming back to Luke 10. 1 John, all the way to the back of your Bible, just before Revelation. First John, look at verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." The propitiation, simple way, that means that was enough to fulfill the requirement. Okay? "Propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if we God so loved us, we ought to" what? It has to be an action. The heart will follow the action. Look at verse 21. "And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who" what? "Loveth" who else? That love will be seen through your compassionate actions. Back in Luke chapter 10. Don't tell me you love God when you don't love other people. Now, your emotions can bounce that around sometimes, right? There's times when something is going... And my poor wife, because I'm safe giving illustrations with that. We've been married 50 years. She's not going to throw me to the curb. Are you, honey? She just tipped her head and went like this, okay? But there's times when it turned around, when something happened between us, says, "You still love me?" And she goes, "Yeah, I love you, but right now I don't like you very much." Right? Never had that? See, but the love overcomes the like and the dislike. What she's saying is, "I don't like what is taking place between us." But the thing that overcomes that is the choice to love each other. And eventually, always the emotions follow that. You still with me? He tells them the story, verses 30 through 35, of a man who was leaving Jerusalem and going to Jericho. You know what the name back in the Bible times was for that road between Jerusalem and Jericho? It's called the Way of Blood. The Way of Blood, because there were so many robbers. People got mugged and were left to die all the time traveling that way. So we see a man who gets mugged and robbed and left for dead. You have two come by. The first one is the priest. He saw the needy man. He went the other side and just passed on by. Priests were the ones who worked in the temple offering prayers and teaching. You know what maybe that the priest had done? He had decided that his need at the temple and to teach others about the one true God was more important than having compassion on the man that the passage teaches is his immediate neighbor. You know what? When you see a need, fill it. Then you're going to be demonstrating the love of God. He was too big a hurry to get back to do his spiritual services. And he was missing the point of the heart of God. The Levite, he came and he got right up next to me and looked at him, and he's half dead, and then went to their side and passed by. Levites offered the sacrifices in the temple. The priest did the preaching and the teaching. The Levites are the ones who followed through on the sacrifices. He could do sacrifices at the temple, but he couldn't sacrifice some of his time to help someone in need. A little help to his neighbor. What reasons? You ever found yourself sometimes, I've had God smite me because I was in a hurry and there was someone that I could have given a tract to and tried to help. I was trying to get something done because I thought it was important. Many of you here now, you don't know who Mark Behe is. Mark Behe was a member of this church. He was part of Rock of Ages Jail and Prison Ministry when he could be. His spine is destroyed. He has rods that hold his back together. He's just trying to keep going. I get texts from his second son every Sunday, who is 16 years of age and preaching in a nursing home every Saturday, because I'm Papa Legault to them. They don't have any grandparents. Judy and I became their grandparents. He has a grandma. I shouldn't say that. She has grandma and grandpa on his mother's side, but not on his dad's side. Mark didn't. His family, they're dead. His parents are dead. Mark and I were traveling one place because I've taken him, traveled with him to drug rehab programs where he'd get invited back to speak because he was the incurable one who got cured by Jesus. We were traveling one place, we're coming back, and there was this guy with his thumb out on the road, hiking or hitchhiking, trying to get someplace. And I slowed down and go, yeah, Mark, he's now, Pastor, we don't know this guy. We got to get to, and we drive 2 miles down the road. He turns to me, I turn to him, and he goes, we didn't do that very right, did we? Now, I don't suggest women turn around and pick up male hitchhikers. But I'm not really afraid of people. He goes, what do you think? And I said, okay. Had to drive another quarter mile to find a driveway to turn around and go back, pick the guy up, and say, where are you going? And he was stuck in our car for a half hour. I would drive, would add things, but Mark had a half hour of just saying, you know, because the guy looked like he'd been rode hard and put away wet. And he heard about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God can transform lives and take thieves and murderers and turn them into preachers of the gospel. Now, he didn't bow his head and pray in that car that day, but he left with three tracts and a New Testament. But I wonder what it would have been and what I would say to the Lord if we hadn't turned around. Because there's been times in my life when I haven't what? Turned around. When I haven't had the track ready. When I'm frustrated. When I didn't appreciate what someone else had to do or what they were going through. Love thy neighbor as thyself. They may have feared that they too would be mugged. You stayed there too long, you're in danger. Maybe they didn't want to be accused of being the one who robbed him if someone came up. He was unconscious. I don't know. You know what they didn't have? Compassion. Compassion. James chapter 4. Coming back to Luke. I promise you. James chapter 4. This is a verse that helps me to try to do the right thing. Do I do it all the time? No. But it doesn't change the truth of this. Look at verse 17. Why don't you read that verse out loud with me? You ready? James 4, ready? Say it with me. James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isn't that a... It's not based off what the other person does. It's based off what is right before your Savior. Hosea, Old Testament. Daniel, Hosea. Okay, so you can find it quickly. Hosea, chapter 6. Verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee, O Judah? What shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. So what is it? It's just there temporarily? Doesn't really give you much? Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by what? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder joints and marrow. Right? Soul and spirit is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not in the knowledge of God more than priest and Levite, very good at doing the burnt offerings and those sacrifices, but not having the compassion enough to show mercy on someone they didn't even know who was their neighbor because they were there. Could be a stranger, but it's their neighbor. Their neighbor. Doing that right thing. Matthew 25. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a what? Let it be established, okay? Matthew 25. They have a parable here on the unprofitable servant. We won't go through the whole passage. But you notice in verse 42, it's trying to teach. And it says, For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. That's a condemnation of someone not showing Christ's love, even to a stranger with a need. Ready? 1 John 3. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, your actions, and in truth. So you have the setting, the lawyer trying to justify himself before the author of the Word of God, the author of creation, the author of salvation. So you have the setting, you have the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, go back to our text, Luke chapter 10. And he gives a solution. The person that lawyer, who was an esteemed person in Judaism, is going to look down on. Verse 33, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, that was medical treatment, and set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. This Samaritan had traveled back and forth there quite a bit. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. The despised Samaritan was the hero of the story. Isn't it interesting how God does that so many times? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the mighty, the things that are despised of the world to give him glory when the most glorious people in the world don't. He used a Samaritan. He had compassion. All right? Healing, sacrifice, provision, care, concern, hospitality, and love. Isn't that what he did? He had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds. Healing. Right? Set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Provision. Care. Concern and hospitality are seen in that, and it's a demonstration of God's love. You know what he was willing to do? What we're commanded to do as believers. And that's to have compassion on a neighbor who is in need. The thing we don't like is there's often a cost to compassion. A willing to cross social barriers. A willingness to take risks. It puts yourself in a place you can be hurt. A willingness to set aside your schedule. A willingness to make a sacrifice. See, because you know what compassion must do? Compassion must come before opinion. It's got to come before your busy work schedule. Compassion's got to come before your time management. Compassion's got to come before your energy, because sometimes you just don't have enough energy to do the next thing. It's got to come before your money. If we say we love God, we are to love our neighbors also. His command. His command. Will we be perfect in it? No. But we should always endeavor and strive to be doing it. Amen? We should be doing it. Jesus demonstrates it to him, to this lawyer. And then verse 36 of Luke chapter 10, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed what? Mercy is giving that person a good, a need, a withholding of judgment. Okay? Not giving them what they deserve. It's mercy. He showed mercy on him. The Samaritan probably had been mistreated by Jews all the time because they were looked down on. Very separated people. And he was a Samaritan. I bet you he couldn't stay in some of the best rooms in the Jewish hotel. But you know what he paid for? A room for a man. He didn't know whether he was Jew or Gentile. He just saw his need. He just saw his need. Aren't you glad Jesus saw your need? Amen? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. The key to it in the text is having God first in your life. Amen? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, the first and great commandment. That's the key to compassion. If God is first, having the heart of compassion towards someone in need isn't difficult. It isn't difficult. Because it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's about what is right that my Savior, my Heavenly Father, would have me to do. Go and do thou likewise. The lesson is, have we shown compassion to anyone lately? I want you to think about this. Does what the Good Samaritan did for this beaten, left by himself person on the side of the road remind you of anything Jesus did for you? It does for me. He saved us. He paid our bill. How do you like that? No alligator arms with Jesus. He always steps up to pays the price. And you know what he's doing? He paid the price so that we could be kept, and he's coming back. Just like the Good Samaritan. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. He's coming back and he's going to take us with him one day. The world needs to see Jesus' compassion through our actions. We have invitations to the Christmas play. You know, we've had people saved at the Christmas play. You know who doesn't get saved at a Christmas play? Someone who doesn't come. You know who doesn't come to the Christmas play who's not part of the church? Someone who's not invited. You know anybody who's not been invited yet? They may not come and sit in a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night service, but they'll come watch a funny play that has the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know anybody who hasn't been invited yet? Go bind up their wounds, have some compassion. And all God's people said? Take a break.